came very friendly. And he was going into, gosh, he was over there myself.
What were they going in for?
Well, Tyra was going on a medical convention, and he was taking Ross over there because he wanted to go to school. So Ross went to school in, oh, for what's it, he went into,
Italy?
No.
England?
No, Switzerland.
No.
Huh?
Where?
Well, that's what I'm trying to think.
Oh.
Switzerland for a while.
Switzerland.
Zurich. He went to Zurich for 1 year, and then he went to, anyway. So, he went to Switzerland. So he went there a year, and I don't think, he couldn't have taken pre-med, I don't know, he probably just took a, university. And he was there, I think, a year or so, and came back, and then he went to Pennsylvania to school, University of Pennsylvania, and I'm not sure I have this right, so she's not quite sure. Then he came back, and father sent him to Europe again for another year, and he went still to Switzerland, but it wasn't Zurich that was in. And of course he used to see Gladys on the way. Now then, the war was coming on, 1950, and the war was coming on, and after Pennsylvania, he went to Minnesota. Now, how he happened to go to Minnesota, I don't recall.
He wasn't practicing yet.
He wasn't in school. No. So he went to Minnesota, and he won the Klutz Prize in Surgery, which was for the most individual surgical procedure.
His grandfather, Ross.
Ross. I'm talking about Moscow. Yeah, he won the Klutz Prize in Surgery.
But he hadn't
lost school yet. Well, this was when he was in school. He was in medicine. He was taking medicine now. He was being graduated from medicine. And he was 40 years pro or whatnot. Well, he went to Dartmouth, too. So I guess he was graduated from Dartmouth. That was it. And then he took his pre-med. That's when. And that's when he went to, after he came back from Europe, I think it was, he went to Dartmouth. And then he went to Pennsylvania and did some pre-med, and then Dartmouth is in the university. Went to the University of Pennsylvania. Dartmouth isn't in Pennsylvania, I don't think. I've been there, I haven't been there.
So then he went from there.
There to Minnesota. Now I can't exactly tell you why, but he did, and that's when we went up there, and that's when he went to school, was going to school when I was going to school.
Did you live together?
Oh yeah, sure. No. We all three lived together, mother and Rosna. And this is when we met. He was a fraternity guy, and he had to meet his friends. And the only thing was that every time he'd bring a friend down, his friend would date me up and he didn't like any part of it. And, Israel, and I have to tell you something about him. Because in a way he was my mentor. He was a very handsome guy, and at one time, particularly when he first came back from Europe, and when he was in Sioux City, and he would go to the opera, and he had his high hat, even in Sioux City, and his cane, and he really looked like some punk opera. Yeah, this was even in Sioux City. I mean, he did things all right then at that time. Well, but at the university, I remember him. He said to me when I was reading something, and it probably was something crappy, "What are you reading tripe like that for?" I said, "What's the matter with that?" "Well, why aren't you reading Strindberg or Nietzsche or this or that?" And, well, of course, I didn't know what they were for. And I thought, well, okay. So I got into all of this. And I read all these, and I became a different person, in a sense, because I felt that I was learning something and was becoming quite. And so when I no longer liked the freshman boys in college, I liked the seniors, because I thought they knew more, and I would produce some of these comments that I would gather from some of these books, and they would think I was really something. I don't think I fooled them. I think I said the truth, but it's just what they thought I was. All right. So, but Ross it was quite a mentor to me, and moreover, he loved beautiful manners. Beautiful manners, and I'll never forget this, and I was telling this to somebody that I know that I think could be helped by this. When his sons were little, and we were going out to dinner, I could still hear him say, "Peter, break your bread. Bill, break your bread." He never could stand ahead of the boys, take a big slab of bread or whatever, and eat like that. And he had beautiful table manners. Actually, we were all brought up with him. And when I see these kids and the way they are now, it's just unbelievable. I can't believe it. They're just like whatever.
Did Ross go in with date a lot?
Yes. Ross did. Oh, yeah. And yes, Weir always had dates. But Weir was more to stick to one and carry on. But Ross was, he was always sort of a experimentalist, I guess. Oh, Lord, yes. He had so many gals. He had them all over. Oh, yes. He was always, inherited just no doubt tendency. I mean, a tendency. Well, so to get back to Ross now. And his, so this is when the war broke out and he was on the ship. Oh, Navy, in the Navy. And he was in New York. He met Gladys, and here there's another mother. I guess he thought that the Navy boy was kind of cute and thought he might amount to something. He thought it'd be a nice catch for Gladys. Well, Gladys came from such a background. I mean, Gainsborough was at their table, and Ross met all of these people, and this is why. And Ross had a great feeling for culture, and I have it, and this is why I like these young kids to have it instead of balloon. I mean, I think you learn a lot. That's what I mean. I'm not trying to be stuffy. Do you? And then when I went to New York and met Gladys and met her in her home, very, very affluent. And I want to tell you something else about me. This is another side. I guess I'm not going to ask me about Washington, D.C. afterwards. Right. So here then is Ross. And so when Mr. Wiles is painting a picture of Admiral Sims. And Admiral Sims was the admiral of the board, but I mean, of the Navy. And I guess he must have asked Gladys about her husband. And she said, "Well, he's on the ship and he's in San Francisco." Well, he said, "I guess, my words, you just better run around and go over there to see him." So Gladys came to San Francisco and met Ross. And they were guests, I think, of my aunt, Stella's. I wasn't here at the time. But I have to tell you this aside. Uncle Harry worked for D.C. Jackling, who was the copper king. And, what? Stella's husband, yeah. Your uncle. And D.C. Jackling was, as I said, the copper king. And there's a lot written about him and a lot to be told about it and things that I know, but I'm not going to go into that now. But he too married a woman who was far and above him socially. He married one of the girls who wrote the really, you know, good stuff. Wonderful, wonderful woman. And they lived, were married, and they lived, and they had the whole top floor of the Mark Hopkins Hotel. And Stella and Harry and Ross, Gladys and children, were invited down to their apartment for caucus or whatever, I don't know what it was. And can you believe what I'm telling you? At one end of the room was a portrait of Mrs. Wiles and the other one of Mr. Jackling, and the other of Mrs. Jackling, done by Gladys' father. Isn't that interesting? So that was that. Now then, so Gladys then came, and I think they stayed here a short time, and then they came to Minneapolis and met Mother and me for the first time. She was a delightful person. She was small, petite, beautiful, big brown, limpid eyes, softly spoken, gentle, just like you would imagine a butterfly would be that might land on a piece of paper that was going to be painted. Just beautiful. And I became very Huntsville, Oklahoma. I never she met him. And we used to write back and forth. We just had this little thing going. Now then, Ross.
They were married,
yeah. They were married. Yeah. Yes, they were married. I told you that my sister and his wife. And husband. They were married. And at the suggestion.
Well, they got married back in
London. They got married, yes.
Or she came out
No. They got married in New York. They got married in New York someplace.
They came out too.
Afterwards. After when he was in the Navy.
So when he went to Minneapolis, he had a wife with him?
No. When he went to Minneapolis, he was in the Navy. I mean, the last time he had a, he was in the Navy, I told you.
Oh, I see that.
And yes. And so, when he went after the war, he was with he was an intern at the Women's Hospital, I believe it was in New York, Women's Hospital. And he lived, of course,
Women's
Hospital in New York City. And of course, he lived with the Wiles, and they had a studio up on the third or fourth floor, because I saw it. Great big airy things, and of course they were had their food. I mean, Ross was just taken care of course by the Wiles, and this is when I say he had an opportunity to I don't mean how not, but to be a guest of theirs and other places where they had people whom we read about and whom we are pretty impressed by. With the ability that they've had to do the great things they've had. Well, then after he finished with this year, I guess it was, he also interned in another hospital in New York. But the thing was, he could see, or thought he could see, I suspect, no, this I don't know if it's true or not. He decided that Mrs. Wiles was going to ruin him the worst. She was the one who was just going to tell him what to do and where to go. The shingle up and all the rest of stuff. And being a Jepson and having ego, he didn't want to. So he. Separate entity. So he evidently told this to Mother and I guess also to Father. And Mother suggested that if he wanted to put up a plaque, why not in Minneapolis? Because he was somewhat not necessarily known, but he had some background there. And moreover, Minneapolis was a place that did have art galleries and it did have people who might be of interest to Gladys, where Cicely would have but nothing in her opinion and mine. And nobody asked him. And so Father, though, very prevailing, and probably told him that he would just look after him and give him his practice. I don't know what he told him, but whatever it was, it appealed to Ross a little bit more than Minneapolis. So he went to Sioux City and he took Gladys, or Gladys came to be with him. And I think she stayed about, I don't know whether it was 2 weeks or 3 months. She didn't stay there long because there's nothing in Sioux City for a person with her background or talent. Nothing. I mean, that's not to be snobbish. I don't have to explain it to you, Warner. You just don't meet them. I mean, it would be just like, well. So she went back to New York. And of course he realized that then if this is where he's going to be and she's not going to be with him, well, there you have it. So, and I guess he wouldn't go back to New York. And so he was going to get a divorce and he couldn't get a divorce in New York unless they proved not so faithful. It's very difficult, but that's what I learned from the one too. Anyway, he got a divorce, and if he did before or after, I don't know, but he wanted me to go with him to New York to see Gladys. So I met him. We drove. I met him in Chicago, I think. Yes, I did. And we drove to New York, and I
had to. How much did he have to be?
Must have been 1920.
Anything?
Driving
cars and
distance.
I did. Do you think cars would hold up like that?
Oh, sure.
And
you know it's
supposed to be awful.
No, well, a couple of them were now that I think about it. We got kind of stymied. We didn't have a mat, so I think it was a difficult problem. And we slept in inns. And I remember at one inn, they were going to give us the same bedroom. I said, look, we're now husband and wife, we're brother and sister, and none of that incest thing. And so we got to New York. And I had lunch with Gladys. I didn't go out to home. I had lunch with her. And she told me how badly she felt about it. Sorry, she said she'd always love him. She never did get married again, you know. She said she knew she'd always love him. And that was that. And we went home, and Ross got, and he was divorced. Well, they were divorced. And then eventually he married Ruth Baker. No, Susie Howard, Ruth Baker.
Oh.
You know, you say that who had Bill and Kit. I mean, who had Bill and Peter.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Any relation
to this other thing? No. Now then, I wanted to tell you about, we were talking about school. When I was, what was it? It must have been about 16, 17. But prior to that, I had a very, very close friend who was Jesse Scott in Sioux City, Iowa. And we were just like two peas in a pod, you know, I said my night to you, you'd spend your night with me. And we were very, very close. And her father was became a congressman. And so she was in Washington for a year, and she just, wanted to have Tid with her, of course. And so Congressman Scott wrote the mother and asked if I could come and live with her for a year. And I could. I guess father must have given me the money. I guess he was very glad to have me out of the way, because now mother was alone and that would be all right too. So I went to Washington. And if you can imagine a little nincompoop from Sioux City, Iowa at 2000 Jackson Street going to Washington, D.C. and hobnobbing with senators and congressmen and their families and seeing everything I did, it was quite a thing. Well, fortunately, my mother was smart enough to know the type of clothes I had, and I was very well taken care of. I had a very smart looking suit and good looking clothes, and I was all right when I got there. Sioux City is a fashionable place. Well, I had a loop. And at the school we went to, it's called Western, and that, it was a public school. And at the public school was where most of the Sanford kids went in the private and all of that. And so, I met most of them, and I had some parties, and I'll never forget this one. The first parties I went to was at the La Follette's. Now that wouldn't mean anything to you. Robert La Follette. He was a great senator, and he had two girls and two boys, and one of the girls and one of the boys were at school for all of us. Well, Jesse and I were invited to a party at their home, and it was a dress-up party. What do you call it? A hardship moment for him? Huh? No. I mean, quite the contrary. Wear some crazy thing or something like that.
Costume
party, I guess that was it. So, I didn't have any costume in the university. I'm not going to do it anyway. I don't like stuff like that, so I wasn't going to do it. See? This starts way early with me. Well, I guess Jesse did, but I went as I was. And I met Phil, the fellow. And I'll never forget this. I'm going in this gorgeous room, and they had there were lions on either side, you know, of those went in, and the living, oh, the entrance hall was prodigious. And then there's a big, you go up the stairway, and the big place they would sit in the stairs to go up and around like that. Well, there were, there must have been about 30 or 40 kids there and whatnot. We were all the same age, you know. And, well, Phil had just come back from Europe. He said, I guess he called me Tid. I think he called me that too. So we went in, he said, I want to show you something. I just came back from Europe, and I'm just going to show you a lot of these pictures that I have. Well, there were pictures of the king and the this and whatnot, with autographs to his father and so forth, and I was impressed. He went, well, no. Very impressed. And their home was very beautiful, beautiful. So, that was that. And then, before I go any place else, I want to tell you about this kid stuff. When I was a little girl, again, curious I was, my father didn't drink, but somebody gave him a bottle of liquor. And to be facetious, it said on it, take TID, which is three times a day, you know that. Well, I couldn't have been more than 4 years old, according to the tale. And I wanted to know what that was and what it meant, because it must have been some size. And I kept saying, tin, and they called me tin, and that came on. And until I had that name, even now, Gene dares to call me that, and so does somebody else. But I...
Well, it's not a dare, it's just a wee little
thing. Of course, I'm just saying that. Yeah. Oh, I don't mean that. But the thing, I'll tell you when I stop.
We figured you liked it because you gave it to us, so we didn't just, you had it. We weren't going to change your name.
I don't know why not, you should have. Well, the point being that when I finally went to Los Angeles, to go to USC, you know, no, we don't, but I'm telling you, and nobody knew me, and I thought it's high time. So I told them my name was Beatrice Jepson, and I had always called B. And believe me, it's that part stuck. Until somebody from Iowa, and I met too many of them, would come out, hello, Tid, who's that? Oh, gosh. Well, so that's the story of Tid. And I never liked it. I couldn't stand it. And I certainly didn't want to be called Baby. And I certainly didn't want to be...
Time.
What?
You certainly kept it on for
I had to, because you see, my mother's name was... This is the problem. My mother's name was Beatrice, but they called her Beatty. Well, this idea of naming a mama and daughter, or a father and son the same, I think it's just too bad. Well, that's the story of Tim. And, bless
you. You're going back to that party at
Washington, D.C.? The Follett.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I think he probably called me Tim. Now, oh, yes, I see. So then, this was another, oh, I have a loop, and so did Jesse.
What is a loop?
A circus.
Yes.
Well, Jessie and I were very so fond of each other that she could have me met like kids are, crazy about a boy, and he didn't like her, he liked me better, or vice versa. It never mattered at all. We didn't care. It was just fine. We'd talk about so forth. Now then, her sister, who was much older, was about 20 or 22, was just going to be married. And she used to go out with Laura Haugen. Now, Laura Haugen's father was a, oh, I didn't mean any of you, but he was Mary Haugen deal from Iowa. He was from Iowa, Haugen. And he was very important in the Senate. And this was his son, Laura, who was then about 23, and he had just come back from Europe. And he was Norwegian, believe me. And so, when Jesse and I went to Washington to school, we had the apartment that the Scouts had had before, and they had 6 rooms and 3 bedrooms and so forth. It was a good size. And we had a woman across the hall from us who purportedly watched over us, because the two of us were in high school and we needed some attention. We didn't, but anyway, because we were big kids and we didn't do anything in those days. Well, nevertheless, Laura Haugen had been back to Iowa, Northwood, Iowa, where he lived, and he was coming back to Washington, where he was working, I think, for his father. And he called Jesse this evening and wanted to know how Sybil was. That was the girl, his sister, that she used to go with him. Said, well, I'd like to see you. All right, I'm going to come out tonight. And I had gone to bed, just central. He wasn't. And our bedroom was right off of the living room. I was just dying to see what he looked like, because Jesse had told me what a nice guy he was and how crazy they all were about him, et cetera, et cetera. I didn't dare to open it because he didn't forget. So I couldn't hear them because he was talking very slow. So finally he hadn't been there very long, and I guess Jesse must have told him about me being there. Well, I want to meet you, of course. So Jesse said, well, you better get dressed, and Ted, come on out and meet him. So I got dressed, took my hair down, because I guess I haven't curled, which is good enough too. And came out. And we went into the kitchen, I'll never forget this. And he I don't know where Jesse was, she was someplace else, and he said, well, you are kind of a cute little girl. First thing he said, you are kind of a cute little girl. And he said, I mean, I don't think I was impressed, I don't mean to say that, but I just happened to remember that. The next day in school, there was a note from the principal saying that I was to meet Mr. Howden. I don't know if they had his name. I was to meet somebody in front of the school at 2 o'clock. And I guess it was closer to 2 then. I was only dinner wasn't sure something could be. I was scared to death of it. And I bumped into Jesse, I know she's going to class. I said, I don't know, but I'm going someplace, everybody wants to meet me. And of course it's Laura. He's out there to meet me and to take me off for the day. He'd just like to see me and Laura again. So, as I say, he was 23 and I was 17 and he was big stuff. And so we went down to the house office building and I'll never forget, we had a big box of candy for me. It was this luscious candy that was from this, you know, the candy thing. And we just talked and talked and talked and talked and talked. And then, I guess, and finally it was time for dinner. And I said, well, we have to call Jesse. Oh, that's can wait. I said, no, she'll be wondering where in the world. Come on, you're not going to come. She'll be wondering where in the world I am. Well, we did. No, we didn't. And he said, oh, no, she'll be all right. So we must have gone out to dinner early. And this is another thing I never forget, because we had a drink and I never drank. But it was something that I thought, he said, oh, this is just a, it was a push buffet. You know what that is? Well, it's three different drinks all in one, like I said, three different materials, pink and so forth. A push buffet. Oh, so this is just like ice cream. Boy, was he starting. It didn't, I don't remember, nothing took me anything. But anyway, we went home. And Jesse, bless her, I should say, I was going to the police officer, it must have been a big surgery. I said, I just feel careful about this, and Laura said, well, I just blocked her, I just thought I'd take her out for dinner. We were so selfish when I think about it. I wonder if she didn't kill me. She should have. But she was terribly excited about the evening, what I was doing. So everything turned out all right, and I started going with Laura. And so might as well. And Mr. Scott wasn't too happy about this. Judge Scott wasn't too happy about this, but he didn't think I was studying in it. So one night, Laura had called me and said, we'd like to take my opportunity to make my thing. And Judge Scott said to me, no, you can't go. Well, where is this thing? I said, he doesn't know what to do. No, you can't go. You haven't been studying enough. I had to go and tell him. He said, you just read that Norwegian alone now for a while. Norwegian lawyer. He often talks about it. And well, that guy. Right, now we get back to my marriage. So that guy really did care about me. Very, very much. And
his name was Laura?
Lauritz. L-A-U-R-I-T-Z. Lauritz Howden. H-A-U-G-E-N. Howden.
Lauritz Howden.
Howden. That's Norwegian. Norwegian. And they called him L-O-R.
What
did
he go into?
Everybody?
What did he end up doing?
He's a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And well, and so then after February, Jesse, all right, so this the time is up and the Scots have to go back to CCR and I go back to the mound.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when I was graduated from high school, mm-hmm. at the mound in 1916, I guess it was the 15th, when I was graduated from the mound and grew up. So then, back to Minneapolis and I'm going to be in the principal. And at the University of Chicago. And Laura came to visit me in another time. Mother wife and
Laura. Yes.
No, but they everybody called him Laura.
Same person.
Ed said it's a variety of life and I was trying to see. I never even thought of any such thing as marriage. Never entered my head. I just was trying to find time. But this particular, this is my second year, this is after the first year, this is the second year. And Jesse wanted, and oh, incidentally, Jesse came up to the university, she went to school, same time I did. And we were friends and everybody I liked, she hung on to. I thought it was the funniest thing how the men that I liked her better later and vice versa. Wasn't that strange? In fact, she married the guy that I used to go to grade school with in Sioux City, who introduced me to my husband. That's too bad, because she made a mess with her life too. So then, that year, she wanted me to come down to visit her. So I said, her mother said yes, so I went down to Sioux City. And we were out to dinner one night with Fred Hill, who turned out to be her husband. And we were at the Hotel Martin, and we saw Ida, this chap sitting over there having dinner, and oh, he was so attractive, just so beautiful. And oh, I thought, oh, who's he? And he said, well, that's Sid Lawrence. Do you want to meet him? Probably. Oh, he knew him very well, so he came over to the table. And that started our association. So Sid invited me out all the time that I was visiting in Sioux City. Well, it seems that he used to go with a lot older girls than mine. They were all not, many of them were friends that I knew, but not any of them. Because he was, 24 when I was, 18 or something like that? 19, I don't know. But in those days, that makes a little more difference. Well, some of my people didn't think he was very good in touch. They thought he was kind of a wild guy. And I thought he was an angel. Because he treated me like one. He wouldn't even kiss me except gently. So Fred, you know. And I honestly, I really was. I was the most innocent young kid, even after 2 years of college. It was unbelievable. Well, I never thought about things like that. Really, anything yet. I just didn't think about anything. Except, you know, I always loved to kiss. But anybody gets this from, And I could be a good friend. So we were always good friends and still be true that. Well, anyway, so on my, well, so then, on my way to Sioux City, Laura's sister, who lived in Northwood, Iowa, called my mother and said that she might very much, Laura would like very much to have her come down. Laura's sister, I forgot her name, Johnson, her name was Mrs. Johnson, and I had met her in Washington. And so Mother said, yes, that would be all right. So I went down. They lived in Northwood, Iowa. And I took the train down. And on my way to turn, I had another chap that I thought I was going to marry. I was so interested in. And he came with me and rode as far as St. Paul.
He didn't know what you were going.
No, he didn't know. And he asked me to marry him on the highway down the train. And I said, well, I was going to go down to visit Jesse, whom he did know, and we would have to see. So, no, he didn't know. I know he didn't know. I don't know, maybe I could. I don't remember. So, Laura met me, of course, and their home was very nice. In Northwood, Iowa, a lovely little typical Iowa house, town, quite nice. And so, he wanted to marry, he asked me to marry him. And that night, when I was in bed, he came wandering in the bedroom. I said, what, ho? You just get out of here fast, and I mean fast. Well, you see, that finished it. I said, I wouldn't have the least. Why would you? Well, being the type I was. I said, that's it, and I'm leaving today. But that's something.
Well, what was he wearing?
The pajamas, I presume. Yeah, sure, he thought.
So it was after a boy was gone to sleep?
Yeah, he woke me up, I guess, if I remember. And so I got him out of there pretty fast. And I think I went home the next day, but I'm not sure. If I did, I don't know what excuse I made to his sister. I don't know, because she was a delightful person, so was her husband. Well, anyway, I got down to Sioux City. And this is when, as I say, I met Sid. And so then, I really fell for him.
Sid was the guy across in the restaurant.
He was in the restaurant.
Oh, was the guy.
Yeah, come on. And Sid was the guy, his name was Sidney Ray Lawrence. And he was from Minnesota. Well, I didn't know that. So we dated and we did this, but as I told you, I heard that he was not quite, but nobody could tell me anything. I mean, he was just a neighbor as far as I was concerned. So I was down there about in Sioux City, maybe, because I lived there and I had all my close friends there, you know, and I was there maybe about 6 weeks or so and decided to go home, and Laura found a time he wanted to marry me before. I said, no, I wouldn't think of such a thing. Well, then he was afraid that if I didn't marry him, that I wouldn't. So he said, well, we can get married now, and then we can get married again afterwards. You know, in other words, we can be married. So in the meantime, I was going to say, so he knew I was a Catholic, and he became a Catholic, so to say. And I was teaching him all about the church.
This is Laura.
No, this is Sid.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Laura.
You just mentioned
that. But I'll finish. I didn't mean to mention one. So, except when he comes into my life again later. And so,
Sid wants to marry me.
And I thought, well, here I am. He told me he'd become a Catholic, but he'd already done it as the church. I mean, the priest accepted him and all this sort of stuff. And he went to communion.
And how old was he?
24.
They were both the same age.
Who?
Laura.
No, Laura. Well, I don't know. Maybe Laura was. I don't remember.
What was Sid going to be?
What was he going to be?
Was he in college? Or
No. He wasn't in college. He was a salesman. He was with the Palmour Soap Company. Yeah. Very well. And at that time, I guess I was just so much about him that I didn't really think too much about it. But when I say I was, this is kind of interesting. Again, I just per se, when I was so nuts about anyone. But I never had what, I guess, the feeling that you're supposed to have when you want to marry someone, in the sex thing. I just cleared that out. And yet I had this very passionate feeling for him. I wanted to kiss him and all of that, but he, you know. Look, I
never, that feeling comes from experience and you
know. No, I said, all right. Well, so, I said, well, all right, I'll get married, rather just as a piece, and then we can get married and tell mother later. No one didn't need anything like that. My darling.
So you were away from home, down
yes,
to the bar.
Yes, I was.
You're going down over the
pool. I'm not with Laura.
But you came down to see him. And
I went down from Laura. I went down to see Laura, and from Laura I went to Sioux City, Iowa, where I fell in love with Sid. All right, that's what you said. So, he said he knew this priest in Iowa, Algona, I guess it was, or something, I've forgotten, or Mason City, Iowa, I guess it was, who could marry us or whatever.
What's the time span between me and him and deciding to be with?
About what?
No, Sid.
What's the time limit between what?
No, when did you meet? You met Sid, and then how many days did it take before you decided to get married?
Oh, heavens. Just before I went home, I would say 6 weeks or 2 months.
Well, you went to Sioux City for 6 weeks.
Yeah, I think so, about that. I was visiting Jesse, my friend that I used to...
Oh, that's
right. Yes, and Catherine Duggan, another friend of mine. We were friends, and we were visiting back and forth. This was a summer from school, you know. And then, so I met him on the train. And I'll never forget it as long as I live, because we were having breakfast. I went to Lamar's on my way home, the way to this, to visit another friend of mine. And she knew something was wrong with me. She could just tell. And so I got on the train.
Did you tell her?
No. Oh, no. Got on the train. And Sid showed me the wedding ring he gave me. And I was just shocked. I thought, how cheesy. This is a plain gold wedding band. I couldn't believe it. Because, of course, I thought, of course, it's probably loaded with diamonds. I don't know what. But anyway, I was kind of shocked. So then we went to this place in Mason City, Iowa. And that Padre wasn't there. He called the Padre, he said, and he wasn't there. Well, then what I do, here I am, off with the gym. Gosh. And here I am off with a man, and I mean, if anybody hears this, So I'm the one who suggests we get married by the justice of the peace. I did this whole brilliant thing. And we did.
How old are you now?
19, or going on 20. Uh-huh. And I guess I was just, this was in August, so, and I was 20 in March of this. Okay, I have a 19 day. So I'm the little girl who did this brilliant thing. So we got married by the justice of the peace, and it so happened. And we changed our name. She didn't do Lisa, right name. I guess we said Jetson and Lisa, but we didn't do the front things right. So we didn't want anybody to know about it because we thought it was very easy to find out. And found out afterwards that the man who married us was a fraternity brother of Willie's and went to college with. Well, so we went back to the hotel and had separate rooms. And I might add, so you know how, well, anyway, I wasn't feeling too well. And we had separate rooms, and then I was going to go home the next day. And I remember I was so, there was a bathroom in the pool. I was so embarrassed. I couldn't even go to the bathroom. I had to go down the hall. Now that's what a sensitive kid I was, okay? But he came in and he knelt down and said his prayers with me. I think so. I think so. And went back to bed.
So you were still saying prayers, nightly?
Yeah, of course. I always did.
And healing in front of
me? Yes, of course, in the morning too. Okay.
Morning and night?
Of course. And so, the next day we left. I mean, he went back to where he was, and I came home to Minneapolis. And,
so this marriage was just sort of to lock it up?
Yes.
You weren't going to do it?
No. I didn't know you were supposed to do anything. Do you know, Warner? Should I close that off? I'm not going to say. So I went home, came home, and my mother, I guess she knew me so well, she knew something was wrong, but I guess she didn't know what it was. And so, what?
How are you feeling?
I don't know. I don't remember. I guess I think I felt very guilty. I don't think I was happy. I don't think anything about it. I wasn't happy.
When you saw the ring and that disappointed you, maybe sort of made you aware
that it wasn't. Yes, I think so. I thought, this isn't. And it wasn't that I was looking for wealth. I don't think it was that. I can't explain it to you. It's just that I didn't think you. Well, of course I was.
Did your attitude toward him change as opposed to the attitude toward marriage? At that time. No, apparently not,
because I had to get married. I mean, I had to get this thing over with. I mean, So then when I came back, and I went to church, and I went to confession, and of course told the priest that I was married, but not by the truth. So he said, we just better get married in the church. Yep. And so, I wrote to Sid was going to come up, so he did. And we were married one Sunday afternoon, unbeknownst to Mother or anybody. This was just terrible. And then we ran back to the hotel. And I think he told me he loved me and stuff like that, but I mean, there was nothing happened. The whole thing was, he told me, he said, you know, I can't understand anybody like you is so innocent. I can't recall, but whatever it was, yeah. So then I went home to my mother, and I guess he went back to where he was going to make a job or whatever. Well, then eventually, and he wrote to me, I guess, every day or every other day, and one of the letters to my dear little wife. My mother never opened a letter in my life of mine or did anything or anybody else. She would never do that. She knew something was wrong with me, and she didn't know what to do. She opened it, a letter, said it, and told me. And I thought she was going to cry.
So you hadn't told her?
Yeah. I thought she was really going to collapse. She had all my father had just got married, and then for me to do this, she just couldn't believe it. And the thing that worried her so is that, one of the things was that I might be pregnant and, you know.
Well, did you have tests?
Of course not.
Yeah.
No. And so I said, well, I didn't know I was supposed to do anything. I thought that thing just went up and you had a baby. And so, it's so strange. Well, so we got the announcements out. That was important. So they announced my wedding. And then this big honeymoon I had with my, went down to Des Moines, Iowa. And stayed in the hotel. He was so jealous of me that he wouldn't even let me out of his sight, and practically locked the door as he did when he was in Sicily, and he used to drink like a fish, and oh God, let's not go into what he was and what not. Well, he turned out to be no good at all. Absolutely no good.
How long were you with him down there?
Oh, in Des Moines, Iowa, I think. Oh, and Mother got me all these beautiful clothes to wear. I think 2 days I came in, I'd had a headache.
Just 2 days.
Uh-huh. And then finally I thought, oh, I have to do something about this. So I did go down to Sioux City, and I thought, well, I'll live with him. Well,
you live with him.
I'll live with him. He wanted me to, and so we went.
And you lived in Sioux City?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we lived in the hotel for a while, and he wouldn't get an apartment, or he wouldn't do anything.
He was living in a hotel?
Yeah. He never
did. Fancy or small?
At the Martin. Oh, no, he was very plush.
He was one.
He was very plush. I mean, he always...
just that the ring was?
Yeah.
Oh,
no, he himself always did everything for his class.
Oh, I see.
Oh, very much so, and his clothes and all the rest of it, yeah. And he probably would be, as flabbergasted as his eye about this ring thing, I never told him. While I was down there, I remember it was at Christmas.
You probably thought he'd be getting an vacation with his wife and stuff.
I don't know what I thought, but anyway, I thought it was pretty cheesy. And so, I went down. They were having a big ball, and everybody in Sioux City went to this. What was the name of it? You know, the
cotillion.
Huh? No, it wasn't a cotillion. They called it the 100-something ball, and everybody went to it. And I was all dressed up, and I thought I was just fine. And I went down to the hotel. And I went with a friend of his whom I had known. Very nice guy. Went down there only to see him kissing the neck of one of his gals. Well, I don't suppose that was very serious. He certainly didn't study me. So I went back up in the room and stayed there. I never did that. And so I almost jumped out of the window. I said, I'm going to go home. Never gave him anything ever. And he gave me enough money to go home, and that was it. And I did. And I went home. And I'd had it. There's too much to tell you. But I mean, too much in between. And it wasn't good. And he was out with other women, I'm sure.
So it wasn't a very happy
There wasn't any happy.